12:15 here at WWIB, and we have some very special guests in studio with me. Carla Stream and her husband Patrick. If that last name sounds familiar, it should, because if you tune in weekends here, Saturdays on WIB, you hear Josh Stream, the energetic, captivating Saturday announcer. Just love having Josh around. And today he's sharing his parents with us, and Carla's going to share her story. Found the Lord later in life, and talk about how we can help young women who may be thinking about the same thing, about going through an abortion, not sure if they have a way out otherwise. So Carla is here. We thought this would be perfect for Easter week. I mean, Easter's all about forgiveness and redemption and being able to start over with the Lord, and wiping those sins that we have off the map because of what Christ did. So this is a perfect week to talk about it. Tell us a story, Wayne.
Thank you, Greg. My story is one of God's redemption. There are parts that are difficult for me to share and difficult for you to hear, but God gives more grace. I grew up in an abusive home with no love. I had a grandmother who lived 4 hours away. She did love me and told me so. She told me I was beautiful and that I was special. She died when I was 14, and I didn't know how I was going to make it without her. I began to drink to cope with my grief and entertain thoughts of suicide. I lived a life of sin and self-destruction as I drank and partied and was promiscuous through high school and college. I was in abusive relationships, always looking for love. I found out that I was pregnant at 24 years old. I didn't know what to do or who to turn to or what this meant for my life. I told two people. One didn't say anything. The other person I told, my roommate, said, "I'll drive ya." She would drive me to get an abortion. I didn't know if I wanted an abortion. My mother paid for my sister's abortion. I had college roommates that had them. They had decided. They seemed fine. What I really wanted was help and hope and support. Someone to say, "You can do this. I will help you. I will be here for you. You are not alone." I didn't have that. The fear began to grow. I felt desperate. I wanted that feeling to stop. I sought out no other resources. I didn't turn to anyone else for help. I made a very rash decision out of my fear. This was back when we had phone books. I opened the phone book to A for abortion. I called Meadowbrook in Minneapolis and made an appointment. I took that ride from my roommate. I remember driving into the parking lot of Meadowbrook on September 5th, 1990, and looking for the crazies, the protesters who stood on the sidewalk against abortion. I wanted to talk with someone. I wanted someone to tell me why they were out there, someone that might talk me out of what I was about to do. There was no one on the sidewalk that day. I walked into a very crowded waiting room. Mothers with daughters, boyfriends with girlfriends. No one looked at anyone. No one talked to anyone. I watched a video of a bunch of red circles, a clump of cells, they said. I sat with a group of girls maybe 7, 8, 9, 11 weeks along. We all saw the same video. We all believed the same lies about fetal development. I was 10 weeks along and wasn't given the opportunity to see the ultrasound of my baby or hear that little heartbeat. There is no informed consent with abortion. They lie by omission. More than 80% of women who see the ultrasound of their baby choose life, and that is bad for business. I had counseling. She asked, "Do you have a nice car, home, career, boyfriend, husband?" I had none of those things, and I told her so. She paused and asked, "What kind of mother would you make?" If that was the criteria for motherhood, not a very good one. But she was talking to a mother. I sat across from her and listened as a pregnant mother. She closed the sale by asking, "Will that be Visa or MasterCard today?" I was brought into a room by an assistant. The abortionist came in. He didn't introduce himself. He didn't look at me or talk to me. He seemed angry. When those that are pro-abortion say this is between a woman and her doctor, are they talking about him? The assistant held my hand and told me that I would feel some slight cramping. The vacuum was turned on and I experienced the worst pain I've ever felt. As I was led to the bathroom, the assistant threatened me. If the bleeding is heavy, you are going right back in that room and the doctor is going to work on you again. I was not going back in that room. Years later, I learned that heavy bleeding could be a sign that parts of my dead baby were left inside of me. I went to recovery. Seated in a recliner with a heated blanket and peanut butter and jelly toast, I felt relief. The decision had been made. There was no going back. I looked around at all of the other girls in their recliners to maybe smile with relief. They were all crying. The one across from me was rocking back and forth, clutching her stomach and moaning, "My baby, my baby, my baby." I was told that now I could get on with my life. I was never told the physical risks of abortion, hemorrhage, cervical injury, infection, perforated uterus, loss of fertility, maternal death, to name just a few. I was never told the risk of lifelong regret that my choice would bring. I tried to do what they said. I tried to move on from the most horrifying experience of my life. Moving on for me looked like going right back to my sin, back to my drinking and partying. I was also never told about the emotional risks of abortion that I began to experience. The relief only lasted a few days, and then I struggled with anxiety, depression, anger, guilt, and shame. I had flashbacks and nightmares, suicidal thoughts, and I made one suicide attempt. I was married years later. We wanted to have a baby, and we were thrilled to find out when we were pregnant. We told everyone. At 10 weeks along, which is how far along I was when I had an abortion, I began to bleed. I was told there was no heartbeat and I was suffering a miscarriage. My doctor said I would pass a plum-sized clot. That is not what happened. I went into labor at Cracker Barrel, passed out in Walmart getting my Tylenol with codeine, and begged my terrified husband to please just take me home. Once home, I delivered our baby into my hand and saw the truth for myself. This was not a clump of cells or a bunch of red circles or a plum-sized clot. I saw toes, feet, and legs, fingers, hands, and arms, a tiny little rump, and a precious little face. My baby, my baby, my baby. The lies I believed crumbled all around me. We started attending Faith Community Church in Hudson, Wisconsin after that. We wanted to know where our baby was, so we talked to Pastor Greg Heinch. He prayed with us. He assured us that our child was in heaven. I couldn't help but think of the baby that I had aborted 5 years earlier. Pastor Greg mentioned abortion often as he preached over the years. Whenever he said it, I would get a knot in my stomach and wonder, why does he keep talking about that? Because he boldly spoke the truth. I sat in silent shame at FCC for years, but I could no longer reconcile the faith that I claimed I had with my sin of abortion, so I made an appointment to talk to Pastor Greg. I was in spiritual bondage because I believed two lies from the pit of hell: that God would never forgive me, and that my miscarriage was punishment for my abortion. Pastor Greg listened as I told him. I told him what I had done. He prayed with me. I humbled myself and repented of my abortion. I repented of all of the sinful, self-destructive behavior that led up to it. And that began my journey of healing after abortion. Through Bible studies, Rachel's Vineyard retreats, meeting other post-abortive women of Silent No More and Operation Outcry, I was no longer alone. I began publicly telling my story of abortion and forgiveness in 2008. I became one of the crazies. I stand and pray on the sidewalk of the nation's third largest Planned Parenthood in St. Paul, Minnesota, where 21 babies a day are killed. 21, the size of a kindergarten class. God continues to redeem the pain of my past and restore to me the years that the locusts have eaten. I have been blessed to lead women through post-abortive Bible studies and Rachel's Vineyard retreats. They have come to Christ in repentance and accepted Him as their Savior. My roommate who drove me spent the day in that abortion mill. It deeply affected her. She is now the executive director of a pregnancy care center and saves the lives of mommies and their babies from abortion. I received their Christmas card, which listed the names of the 53 babies saved in 2021. When my church family learned that more than 80% of women choose life after seeing their ultrasound, by God's grace, we raised $40,000 for an ultrasound machine for Options for Women in River Falls, Wisconsin. Mommies now have the opportunity that I was never given. There are 5 babies that I know of that are alive today because I told my story. One woman watched the YouTube trailer for Life After Abortion, the documentary I participated in. She left a comment saying that she had chosen life. Lisa put her little girl up for adoption because she couldn't get my words out of her head after hearing me speak. Julie called me every day from the abortion mill parking lot, telling me she was going to go through with it this time. She didn't. Her daughter was born on my birthday. I was added to a Facebook message group 7 years ago. Joyce in the Philippines was pregnant and alone. I gave her the name of a Facebook friend that I had who was the director of a pregnancy care center in the Philippines. Who but God could orchestrate that? She chose life. Her little man is now 6 years old. Joyce is married and also has a daughter. I was feeling the weight as the calendar neared September 5th, 2020. That date marked 30 years since my abortion. I asked God to continue redeeming the day for me. I received a Facebook message from a woman in Kenya. She was 14 weeks along and had found an illegal abortionist at the same time she found my story of abortion regret online. She reached out to me and I told her the truth. I told her, "You can do this. I will help you. I will be here for you. You are not alone." She chose life for her sweet girl who turned 1 year old in January. If I could go back 31 years, I would. I didn't know then what I know now. I would run out that abortion mill door and save my child's life and mine from abortion. But I can't. So I will keep telling our story for several reasons. To share what God has done. He has rescued, redeemed, and restored. I remember the days of long ago. I ponder all of your great works and think about what you have done, Psalm 143:5. I will offer help and hope and support to women who may be in the valley of decision. When one other person, a friend, a coworker, a boyfriend, a husband offers it, women choose life. I will refute the lies of the abortion industry, women's reproductive health care. Reproductive justice. It's just a clump of cells. My body, my choice. Abortion is empowering for women. I will warn others of the death and destruction that abortion brings. Although I deeply regret my abortion, there are those who claim that they don't. My sister claimed that her abortion was the best thing she's ever done. Even though I regret mine and she doesn't regret hers, the end result of our abortions was the same. 2 dead babies, 2 wounded mothers. The intent of an abortion is to brutally kill a fully alive and growing innocent human being made in the image of God, and that is the central horror, the central evil of abortion. I will continue to share the hope and healing in Christ that I have found. I can't bear the thought that men and women are suffering in silence for years like I did. I came to Christ because of the brokenness over my sin of abortion. I am not defined by it. Abortion is something I have done. It is not who I am. I am His. I am His daughter. No matter where you've been or what you've done, no one is beyond the saving grace of Jesus Christ. No one. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will give you praise forever. Psalm 30, 11, and 12. My husband Patrick is here in the studio with me. We have four children that have raised us. You already know Joshua. He will soon turn 25. Sarah is 21, Nathan is 18, and Timothy is 16. The baby that died in my abortion on September 5th, 1990 is named Aubrey. The baby that I delivered into my hand is named Jamie. We had another miscarriage and named that baby Lee. They are part of our family, part of our story, and I will continue to honor their short lives. I will grieve with hope as I look forward to holding them in heaven. What a reunion God has planned for me. I would not be here today if it weren't for God and His amazing grace, or for God using my pastor to speak the truth into my life. The Lord has brought purpose to my deepest pain, for my good and for His glory. Thank you.